Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 5, stanzas 1 through 5. O Lord, how are my foes increased? Against me many rise. How many say in vain for help? He on his God relies. All stanzas of Psalter 5. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the first book of Samuel, in the 22nd chapter, 1 Samuel, chapter 22. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 1 Samuel chapter 22. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpeh of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you, till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, Abide not in the hold, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. When Saul heard that David was discovered, and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. And then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, Hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day? Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, and the priests that were in Nob. And they came, all of them, to the king. And Saul said, Hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, Here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, Why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day? Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, And who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me, let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. And the king said, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, Turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled, and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, Turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day, when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me. Fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safe guard. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we may come round about thy word of truth in this morning hour once again. It behooves us to humble ourselves, but we have it not in our hearts. It must all come from thee, and without thee we can do nothing. Then we cannot even begin to worship thee aright. Then we cannot even come up in a right frame of heart when we appear before thy countenance on thy day. And yet thou sayest, if thou wilt call my Sabbath a delight, and if thou wilt turn away from doing thine own ways, and turn away from doing thine own pleasure upon my day, and from speaking thine own words, and but that thou would call my Sabbath a delight, and that thou wouldst honor me, oh, then I will feed thee with the heritage of Jacob. And it is from our side so undeserved. But Lord, thou knowest there is a people, and they desire to be fed with that heritage. Oh, could it please thee then, even in this morning hour, to give what thou commandest, and to command what thou wilt. Put it in our hearts, Lord, that we may in this day be given by thy grace to put away all the vanity of the world, all that lives in our heart that cleaves to all that is earthly and that is carnal, and that our treasure may be in heaven, all that our heart may also be there, and that we may call thy Sabbath a delight, not only with our words in the way of hypocrisy, not only with our minds in the way of a historical faith, but may it be in spirit and in truth. Oh, that the delight of our hearts and may be to come round about thy word of truth, to hear thy word proclaimed, to read thy word also and all that is truly based thereon in our homes in this day. Oh, that we may also sing thy praises. Oh, give such a delight amongst young and old together. Oh, plant it in the hearts of our children and our young people. Oh, that they may be given to feel all the emptiness of this world, the emptiness of this life that is without God in the world, and that thou may look on them and all the needs and the cares that they carry about with them, each one, for thou knowest the heart and thou knowest the sorrows, and it can be even in the days of our youth, that we are heaped with sorrows and difficulties and troubles. And sometimes they cannot be explained and laid before our fellow men. But, oh, give them then a place by thee, Lord, in the days of their youth and blessed inner chamber, and a place that they may feel, that they may lay all their needs and wants and cares before the living God. Oh, that he has an ear to hear, and that he may come to the help of all that are distressed. Oh, that they may experience already in the days of their youth that thou art alive, and that thou art the governor over all the land. And oh, not all things seem so in this world. Yet when they come into thy house, oh, that they may be given to see the end of the wicked. Oh, look on all of us together, the parents in the bringing up of children. Give to us wisdom, Lord. Oh, give to us the tender fear of thy name, that there may be reverence about thy word, that there may be an example in the midst of our families of the true and tender fear of the Lord, and that it also may be planted in the hearts of our parents, and that it may be shown in the life day by day, not only upon the Sabbath days, and that the hunger and the thirst may be born. Look upon the old aged and all that suffer from diseases and difficulties in this life, because this life that fades away, oh, it is as a shadow, and soon it disappears. The wind does blow, and then the life is gone. Oh, and then it is felt in the declining of the body. Oh, that thou may remember then, and wilt thou give that which is necessary not only to live, but also to die. Remember her that is receiving a rehabilitation day by day. O Lord, wilt thou supply for her and give health and strength in her weakness and sickness, and wilt thou bring her home again to her husband and daughter, and could it please thee to bless them together with a favor from above. And Lord, look upon the children also that suffer in the needs of the body. Supply for them each one day by day. And Lord, look upon the needs of our souls, each and every one of us together. For this purpose, we do come to thy house of prayer. And we are as those that are sick. And we are as those that are dead. And we can read it in thy word, that thou art that great physician, and that thou art the life. O thou callest forth from the grave, and thou speakest one word, and men are healed. And so it is, O Lord, for the need of the soul. And this we must be given to experience. Shall it be well for that great eternity? And, Lord, we therefore ask it of thee, O thou who alone art able to heal us, thou who alone art able to show to us our misery, and thou who alone art able to reveal unto us thy blessed and thine only begotten Son, in whom thou art so well pleased. Wilt thou then reveal him in the midst of thy church in this day to those that are needy, those that are afflicted, and those that are oppressed? And when we are not so, oh, wilt thou make us so, and that the fallow ground may be plowed up, and that there may be a place for the blessed seed of thy word to fall. Strengthen thy Zion in the warfare to which thou hast called them in this life. Oh, that thou may be with them in the moments of temptation in this world. For left one moment they will fall, for there is nothing good in them. But, Lord, they are kept. They are preserved by thee. Oh, that thou may remember them then, and could it please thee to then feed us from above with open windows out of the storehouses of Joseph in this morning hour. Help us as thy servant to bring forth thy word once again. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, to strengthen us for the labors of our hands, which we have believed that thou hast called us unto. Oh, could it please thee to help us in this labor and to give us back again our lost strength. And could it please thee to bless the work of our hands in the midst of this congregation to whom thou hast sent us. And could it please thee to glorify thy great and thy worthy name in all these ways, and give us to be reconciled to thy will and way, whatever that may be. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our iniquity, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 154, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, be merciful to me. My soul for refuge comes to thee. And beneath thy wings I safe will stay until these troubles pass away. 1 through 4 of Psalter 154. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the portion of God's Word which we have read to you, 1 Samuel chapter 22, and thereof the first and the second verses, 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 and 2. David, therefore, departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. So far, the words of our text. First, our theme, that is David, a type of Christ in the state of his humiliation. First, the place to which David escapes. David, therefore, departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. Second, the people that gather themselves to him, and when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him, and every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and there were with him about 400 men. And last, the office which he receives, and we read, and he became a captain over them. Thus, David, a type of Christ, in the state of his humiliation. First, the place to which David escapes. Second, the people that gather themselves to him. And third, the office which he receives. Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many men these days who break away from their masters. Who was a congregation that has spoken those words? That was Nabal. And what did Nabal believe? Nabal believed that David was a rebel. Nabal believed that David did make insurrection against his master. Nabal believed that David ought to die. It was Saul that did make men to believe this, made it to appear so. He says, "Hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards? And make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as it is this day." Thus Saul, he makes men to believe that David is a rebel, that David is stirring up against the king. And how many more have not believed the same? We do not know. We know that the men of Keilah, they were delivered by David, but they also would have delivered up David unto Saul. And it can be that they believed the same, or that they were just cowards. But of whom is David a type? David is a type of the son of David. and the son of David, he was accused also of being such a rebel. We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God. And so they have made men to believe that he ought to die. Congregation, soon, the Lord willing, we hope to commemorate Christmas. And on Christmas Day, children, then you know that something very significant, very meaningful has taken place. And that is what? That is the humiliation, the first step of the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was that first step of his humiliation? That was his birth? No, that was not his birth. That is very important. That was his humble birth. His birth, had it been a birth in a state as Adam before the fall, had been no humiliation. But because it was a birth with the nature of Adam as he had it after the fall, therefore, the birth of Christ was a great humiliation. And what was that humiliation? That was that the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was innocent, though he had not one single sin, then he appeared in this world as a man that was a sinner. Thus he has taken upon him all the consequences of sin. He was hungry, he was weary, he was sick, he was afflicted, he was tormented, he was persecuted, and so on. These are all the results of sin. And thus it appeared to everyone that he was a sinner, just like unto them. The humble birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. The cave of Adullam, that was a cave that was near to the town of Adullam, that was lying in the lowlands of Judah. And this cave, we read, David escaped to. Well, where was David coming from? David was coming from Gath. And what was David doing in Gath? In Gath, David was trying to protect himself. David had fled to Gath for refuge. He has fled to the king of Gath to care for him and to protect him from his own king. What an awful thing. When David, runs onto Gath. It did not go well in Gath. No, it did not go well at all. Because there in Gath, David falls into temptation. Oh, there in Gath, the faith of David that becomes so very, very small. And he does not believe that the Lord is able to protect him. And therefore he falls into temptation. And he escapes indeed. He barely escapes. He escapes with his life preserved, mercifully preserved, He certainly did not deserve this. And David returns to Judah. And as long as David remains in Judah, then we can read in the next few chapters how that the Lord, he is taking care of David. But then we can read then in chapter 27 how that the faith of David again sank so low that he hardly knew that the Lord was his keeper true. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more out of the coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And once again, David, he falls into such temptations there, he has almost to go to fight against his own people. And then when we think about Ziklag, then we say, David, what are you doing when you have gone away from Judah? But here we read, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. Probably David has been in this cave Adullam for some time. That is a man, congregation, who has the promise from the Lord. What is that promise? That promise is the throne. That promise is the kingdom. And where is he? And he is lying in this cave Adullam, or where he is far away from the kingdom. Congregation, that promise of the Lord that is so tried in the life of David and in the life of his people. Because he is not given here the throne, no. But we see that he is hunted, as it were, as a partridge upon the mountains. Our way is different. Our way, says David, well, the Lord, by his providence, he brings him into the house of Saul, and there he can learn the ways of the kingdom, and he is made the armor bearer of Saul, and then he is made a general of Saul, and then David, he will increase, and he will increase until the time comes that he may take that kingdom. But it is not the way of the Lord. No, Moses also was in that house of Pharaoh. In our way, we would say, yes, let him increase, let him increase. Then Moses, he has to depart for 40 years into the wilderness. There, Moses, he has to learn lessons. Before honor is humility, and now David, for him it is the same. And now how is it for his anti-type that is for Christ himself? He is congregation, also the one who has received the promise. He has received the promise of the kingdom. He has received the promise of an inheritance. And he also, as David, was the anointed of the Lord that was from eternity. But what has to come first? We read it. Paul speaks of it in Hebrews chapter 2. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. How was that for the Son of God? We can understand that for David. We can understand that for Moses. How was that for Christ? Had he then to learn lessons? No, congregation. And yet, it was for the perfecting of that mediatorial office. It was for the fulfilling of that office, which could not be fulfilled except that he were coming in the flesh in the way that he did. And how was that for him? Well, we read of the devil. The devil, he said to him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence." If thou be the Son of God, command that those stones be made bread. That was the temptation for the Son of God. You say, the trial of the promise, yes. But was even more, congregation. That was even the temptation concerning his very divinity. His very divinity. If thou be the Son of God, that is what the devil tempted the Lord Jesus Christ with. And how is that? That is occasioned by the depth of his humility. All that he so humbled himself to take on the nature of man as it was after the fall. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam, that is, congregation, the way of the Lord to the throne for David. He does not receive it immediately. No, that throne, that is for him for the future. And David does not thrust himself forward to that throne, no. But that throne would be given unto him. It would be given to him by him who has given to him the promise of that throne. That was so different from Hazael, boys and girls, wasn't it? When Elisha has come to him and said, "Thou shalt be the king over Syria," then he was not ready to wait for that time of the Lord, no. But he has gone to murder that king Ben-Hadad. Such was not the way of David. And why not? Because David, he is a type. He is a type of the Son of David. And the Son of David, he also would be given that throne. But that was not immediate. No, and he did not thrust himself forward to that throne, no. No, the multitudes, they would make him a king by force. And what did he do? He sent them all away, and he went into a mountain to pray. "My time," he said to the Jews, "that is not yet come." There was something else first. And what was first? That was a way of suffering. That was a way of deep humility. That was the way of death. David therefore departed thence and escaped to Adullam. And there he is alone. Oh, there he is separated from his family, from his friends, from rest, from all comforts in this world. There he wanders in the deserts and in the mountains, in the dens and in the caves of the earth. Oh, is he not a blessed type of that Son of Man who left his Father's glory and who came and had no place to lay his head in order that he may tread that winepress alone? And why was David persecuted? Well, congregation, that was a man who was the deliverer of his people. What had he done, children? He slew Goliath. And then there was what? Then it was envy. And it was now that envy in the heart of Saul, which did make him to persecute David. And is it not so also when Christ came into this world? Then we see the Pharisees, then we see the scribes. And then they see the multitudes and they see the people. They are believing on him. And then they are filled also with that same envy. But does it not actually go deeper? Is it not actually the struggle that we read here between the two kingdoms, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan? Oh, doesn't David experience here the wrath of the prince of darkness? Was it not an evil spirit that did trouble Saul, that he has persecuted David? And now was it not also that the Pharisees and the scribes, they had to hear from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, ye are of your father the devil, and the deeds of your father ye will do. They sought to kill him. Why? He says, you want to kill me because I have told you the truth. David departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And their congregation, probably then he has written his cave song. The cave song wherein he draws nigh unto the Lord. You know, that is, children, that is Psalm 142. Listen, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. And when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Oh, there he may lay his trouble before the Lord. Do we not see in him also and that blessed Son of Man? Or as he was in his deep humiliation, suffering congregation as if he were the greatest rebel and criminal, persecuted, afflicted, tormented in this world. And now such a mediator, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Jewish nation, has despised. They have rejected him, even as David was rejected in that cave of Adullam. But now there were others. There were others that were looking for such a mediator. Oh, there are others that are looking for such a mediator, even as there were others that were looking for David in that cave. Oh, who are they? They are a people, even as David. They are a people, even as the Son of David himself. Oh, that are made perfect through suffering. We see that in our second thought, the people that gather themselves to him. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Thus first, we have mentioned here his brethren and all his father's house, his kindred. They gather to him. Why? Well, because they are one with David. They are one with David in the flesh, but they are also one with David in their suffering. They are one with David in their persecutions. We have read together of the rage of Saul, that he was willing even to destroy all the priests of the Lord. And therefore, we can understand what a danger that the kindred of David was in. His brethren and all his father's house or congregation. Is that not so also with the true brethren of the son of David? No, not his brethren after the flesh, but his brethren after the Spirit, according to the Spirit? Or is that they suffer with him according to this world? Often so, through much tribulation entering into the kingdom of God. And it is the strength of this life that is labor and sorrow when we fly away, that is for all men in this world, but in a special way for that true church of God, but congregation not primarily. No, Isaiah, he says, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. Or in Psalm 57, when David fled from Saul in the cave, we read, then David says, my soul is among lions. And what do we read here? We read that it is not only his brethren, but we read everyone that was distressed. Distressed means or points to an outward impoverishment, an outward harassment, a straitness, an anguish. And why? It was because of the government of Saul. Because that government of Saul was an oppressive government. Oh, Samuel, he has warned the children of Israel of what that king would be. They have asked for a king. And he has told them the manner of the kingdom, that it would be a king who would take their sons and their daughters. It would be a king who would take their men servants and their maid servants. It would be a king who would take from them their fields and their vineyards and their olive yards and their sheep and so on. And so it was also experienced by the children of Israel. And then he says, you shall cry out from under it. And so it was true. And congregation, how is that now then with that regenerated church? Oh, the Lord, he has warned us, congregation. He has warned us in our father Adam. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Oh, then the consequences of choosing our own king, they were laid before us one after the other. It was death. And everything that did go along with death. And now when the Spirit of the Lord is coming, when man is in death numb under all their wretchedness and their misery, and know not what it is, and do not pine away under it, but in the true regeneration, then it is the Spirit of the Lord that is giving a cry in the heart of the people. Oh, then they begin to see what they have done. They begin to see whom they have chosen. They begin to be burdened under the government of their king, and that they are crying out unto the Lord. And everyone that was distressed, oh, then they see what they have been robbed from. Oh, then they see all the good that they have lost by their own free will, by their own choice. And everyone that was in debt, what is that, children? That we owe money. And we cannot pay that money. We are in debt. Now, some were in debt because of their own fault. Oh, the Lord give us to be good stewards in this world. But for many, they were in debt because they have squandered their money. But then there were others. They were in debt because of what was called usury. Oh, they were poor. And they had not sufficient. And then they had to borrow. And their brethren did lay such an interest on that money that they became only poorer and poorer. And finally, their children, their sons and their daughters, they were given up for bondmen and for bondwomen. And how was it now in that kingdom of Saul? O congregation, it was with those creditors, whether it was their own fault or no, but those creditors, they had no mercy. Those creditors, they have taken them by their throat, and they have said, "Pay me what thou owest." And they could not pay. They had not sufficient. Then the amount was much too high. And Saul, he was as Gallio. He cared for none of these things. And now how is it in that kingdom of that son of David? What do we read in the Word of God? By the law is the knowledge of sin. O congregation, the law that knows no mercy, that law, that is taking hold of that people, that is taking them by their throat, that is saying to them, "Pay me what thou owest." Then it is showing to them how much that they do owe. Then they are not able to pay it because the standard that is much too high. They have lost all their ability in that deep fall. And so they have come under such an heaven-high debt. And Satan, he is as Gallio. He cares for none of these things. And he is the tempter. And even worse, he is laughing. That is who he is, young people. He is laughing and he is mocking now with that people of the Lord who are bowed down under that burden of debt. And everyone that was distressed and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented. Now discontent, that is something more than what is outward. Contentment is something that lives in our heart. Thus, discontentment, that was a people that were inwardly embittered with the state of things as it was under the hand of Saul, because in his kingdom there was bad government, because in his kingdom there was no justice. And then there is distress, congregation. There is distress to the noble soul when the gallows is cheated. That is the sparks of the image of God that are still left in man. When the needy are turned away from judgment, when the poor are taken away from their right. Oh, Solomon says, surely oppression makes a wise man mad. And how is it in that regenerated soul, oh congregation, they are under the government of that king that they have chosen. They are under that government of Satan himself, and there is no justice there. No, it is all lie. It is all cheat. It is all deceit. And in that old life, oh, then all is well. But when there is now a new life, oh, then that new life is not able to agree with this way anymore. No, then there is an inward distress, and it cannot live the lie anymore. Then it is looking for uprightness. Then it is looking for truth. And it is looking for justice. Oh, even if that justice that is against me, oh, it is still looking for that justice because of the honor of the and the glory of the Lord, because of the love of the Lord. Oh, that is where the Spirit of the Lord is bringing that people, and therefore that people, they are beginning to look unto Adullam. Adullam, the name means justice of the people. O congregation, is that now not the reason that Christ has so humbled himself that he may come to fulfill that justice? And that he may give back unto that people everything that they have lost when they have chosen unto themselves their own king. Oh, he is given an office for this, that he may so bring that justice back into this world and return that people unto their rightful Lord. But let us sing first. 387, 1 through 4. To God, my earnest voice I raise. That is Psalm 142. To God, my voice imploring praise. Before his face my grief I show, and tell my trouble and my woe. 1 through 4 of 387. David, a type of Christ in the state of his humiliation. Our third thought, the office which he receives, and every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. They gathered themselves unto him. What does that mean? That they sought him out? They looked for him. And they came to him from every quarter, from the north and the south and the east and the west. Why? Oh, what did they see in him? They saw in him, congregation, a likeness. A likeness. There was a likeness of the flesh. It was his brethren. It was his kindred. But there was a likeness also of the Spirit, a likeness of the way, a likeness of the trials, a likeness of the tribulations. And what does now the Spirit of the Lord reveal in the heart of that church, of the distressed, of the debtors, and of the discontent by which they are drawn to him? Oh, he reveals to them what we read of a sympathetic high priest, for that he himself, having suffered, being tempted, is able to succor them that are tempted. And it is that succoring, that is experienced, that is felt in the life of the distressed. And where did that begin? That began, congregation, in his humble birth, when he came, even as it were, into that cave of Adullam, and that people that gathered themselves unto him, are they made ashamed? Oh, Paul says, they experience something different than shame. Oh, he says, we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And thus we read, he became a captain over them. That means he became their prince. He became their leader. He became their general. He became their chieftain in an official way. That is, they chose him to be so. They voluntarily submit themselves under the directing hand of David. Do you know what Paul calls Christ? He calls him the captain of our salvation. And when does Christ become the captain of the salvation of his people? Objectively, he becomes so in his incarnation. He was the Son from all eternity. But from all eternity, a mediator was not necessary. It was decreed in eternity, but it was not yet necessary in eternity. And therefore, there had to come a time. And now it was that incarnation, which was the fulfillment of that mediatorial office, the necessary requirements for the fulfillment for that office. That is, when we read, God gave him a body. And that was the time that we begin to see that all of the distressed and the debtors and the discontent, they begin to gather around the Lord Jesus Christ. It was when He was laid in that manger already. Oh, then we can see. And then they are beginning to gather around him. Oh, who are they? They are not in general the great men of this world. It is but a remnant. And it is a small remnant. Only 400 men. They are gathered around David. What are 400 men compared to all the thousands of Israel? Oh, it is a small remnant. But this little remnant, they own him. Oh, see him lying there, children. It is Mary. It is Joseph. And that is not only their natural child, but these are they that own him. Oh, it is his kindred. And then we see the shepherds. And we see a Simeon. And we see an Anna. And we even see wise men. Oh, and they are owning him as their captain. They are declaring him to be the captain of their salvation. Oh, they are rejoicing in him already. My soul doth rejoice in God my Savior. Oh, they are speaking of him to all those that look in Israel for redemption. They are making known abroad unto all of what has been told them concerning this child. Oh, when is it that he becomes the captain of their salvation? Oh, it is objectively in his incarnation. It is subjectively when he is born in our heart. All that is when he is revealed unto those that are distressed, unto those that are in debt, unto those that are discontented. When he is revealed, oh, justice they desire, but justice, congregation, can only slay them. But what do we read of Luther? When was he delivered? Oh, he says, the just shall live by faith. Oh, when that child is revealed, when that child is born, then a way that is made open for that people, a people who could not pay the debt because the demand was too high, a people who could not pay the debt because their ability they have lost, and then is revealed to them, him who has paid that debt already. Oh, then they may see by the revelation of the Spirit of the Lord something they have never seen before. Oh, then they begin to rejoice already. They begin to rejoice in what? Oh, they see grace, congregation. Grace as over against that law. Grace as over against that way of works. And to that people, oh, that way goes so wide open. Oh, to that people, that door that goes so wide open that the chiefest of the sinners is able to enter there. Oh, then they see. But he says in his word, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, grace, grace, oh, grace that is wide as the ocean. Then he is declaring to their soul also, with me, thou shalt be in safeguard. And there are not a thousand souls, there are not a thousand Satans, devils in hell, that are able to prevent dead people from entering in by the way of free and sovereign grace, no matter how great that load of guilt and pollution and corruption and sin may be. Oh, then it is a people that in that moment they begin to own him as their own. Oh, then they begin to voluntarily submit themselves unto him as the captain of their salvation. Oh, how precious he becomes to their soul. What they have said formerly of the Lord in general, they now begin to say of the blessed Son of God, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. And if the Lord may give openings that the stones would not speak, then they will speak of him to all them that are looking for redemption in Israel. And he became captain over them. Oh, that is in that day that soul is given, even for one moment to take refuge unto him as he is in that cave of Adullam. O congregation, was your soul ever for one moment in your life able to enter on this blessed mystery? Or was your soul for one moment in your life as a distressed debtor, as a discontented one, in that service of that King whom you have chosen, ever given for one moment to be able to flee to that blessed mediator in the state of his humiliation, that you may receive something of the knowledge of this blessed mystery, that you may own him also as your own? Oh, they do not own him first in the state of his exaltation, but they are owning him, congregation, first in the state of his humiliation. It is not a people that are seeking heaven. It is not a people that are seeking glory, no. It is a people that are seeking to be delivered from sin, from the power of sin, from the consequences of sin, from the evil of sin, yes, from sin itself. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. Thy life I will give to thee for a prey in all places whithersoever thou goest. Oh, that was Esther. She says, if we were sold for bondmen, if we were sold for bondwoman, I would hold my peace. I would keep my mouth closed. But I cannot keep my mouth closed anymore. No, she goes in unto the king and she says, King, only give me my life. Only my life. Oh, when these discontented, these distressed, these debtors, they have come to that cave of Adullam, then they were those that may believe that David, he was one day to ascend a throne, and yet they could see nothing of it. It became so bad in the life of the people that at one point they were ready to stone him. But congregation, oh, this captain of their salvation, he has led such a life of humiliation that he has made his arch enemy to weep. He has made his arch enemy to bless him. Is this thy voice, O my son David? Thou art more righteous than I. O God, reward thee good for what thou hast done unto me this day. That was the voice of the great hypocrite. But the Lord did reward him good for what he had done. He gave to him that throne of Israel and everyone that has put their trust under the shadow of his wings, they were not made ashamed. And so it was, and so it is, and so it shall be with his blessed Son. After his humiliation was his exaltation, God's promise that is so very, very sure. But never, never did a single soul enjoy him in the state of his exaltation that did not come to own him in the state of his humiliation. Or if we will find him, congregation, if we will find him, we will find him in the cave of Adullam, where he becomes the captain over all that are distressed and that are in debt and that are discontented. Oh, let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, bless thy word. Bring it in the heart of those who are distressed. For thou hast humbled thyself so deeply to be made like unto them who had sinned and yet sin accepted. Oh, thou hast so fully paid that price that there is nothing and that is standing in the way anymore of the chiefest of the sinners to enter again into the service of the Lord. All we ask of thee then, wilt thou encourage those that are distressed by a little light from above on that blessed Redeemer, on that blessed Mediator, or that they may be given also to own him as the captain of their salvation. Bless thy word. Forgive our many, many sins in speaking and in listening. Bring us safely to our places, and with desire to gather again in thy house in this afternoon hour, wilt thou help him that will go before us in the reading service. For Jesus' sake, amen. 258, 1, 2, 5, and 6. O sing a new song to the Lord. Sing all the earth and bless his name. From day to day his praise record, the Lord's redeeming grace proclaim. 1, 2, 5, and 6 of Psalter 258. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless you.